So James chapter 1, 9 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Lord, we do thank you for your word today. We ask that you would be with us as we take this time to study it, to consider not only what it means, but what it means for us today. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would be with us as we study your word. We ask that it would work in our hearts, that we would be encouraged, that we would be corrected, that we would consider deeply the truths that we encounter. May you pray. Amen. All right, this morning, we're continuing our study of the book of James, and we are looking at James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And last week, we spent some time walking through verses 5 through 8 of this same chapter. And in those verses, James told us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God for the wisdom that we need. And he gave us some very good reasons to do that. He told us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God for that wisdom because our God gives generously and because our God gives without reproach. And in our passage today, James calls on us to put this wisdom that we have received from God into use. When I was growing up, one of the highlights of getting to stay home from school when I was sick was getting to watch The Price is Right. Some of y'all probably remember doing the same thing when you were staying home from school. Well, one of my favorite games on The Price is Right is this game where they take a common household item that you would buy at the store, and then they assign a price to it. And then your job as the contestant is to guess if the true value of that item is actually higher or if it's lower than the price that they've assigned to it. And as a child who did very little of his own shopping, I remember being very bad at this game. But I always enjoyed the challenge of trying to guess the true value of this item, whether it was a tube of toothpaste or a box of baking soda. Well, one of the things that we know to be true about ourselves is that we all have the tendency to believe that our true value as a person is assigned to us by others. If you look at our lives, you will see that we believe that our value rises and falls with the opinions of other people. When people think well of us, we have high self-esteem. When people think poorly of us, we have low self-esteem. If you look at our lives, you'll see that we believe that our value rises and falls with our circumstances. The more wealth that we have, the higher our value. The more friends that we have, the higher our value. The more people who think that we're intelligent, the higher our value. The better we are at our job, the higher our value. The better we are at a sport, the higher our value. And it works in the other direction, too. If we don't have much money, we don't believe that we have much value. If we struggle to make friends, we believe that it must be because we don't have much value. If we struggle with our grades or if we struggle in our job, then we believe that we're less valuable than those who don't. So we all struggle with letting the world assign to us a value based on the standards of the world. And this is true whether the standard being used is wealth or if it's social status or talent in a particular area or you know, being healthy, or even your personality type. You know, and depending on how we feel that we measure up to these standards, we may end up thinking much too lowly about ourselves, or we may end up thinking much too highly of ourselves. And in this passage, James reminds us that all of the wealth and social status and talent that we can possess in this world, it's all temporary. It's all temporary. Just like us, these things will one day pass away. And when that happens, we will find that our true value is found only in our standing in Jesus Christ. And since we know that we also fall into this trap of assigning value to ourselves and of assigning value to others based on the standards of this world, you know, we need to be reminded by James today that our value is not based on our social status or on our economic status or on any other standard that this world employs. Our true value is only found in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're going to take a few minutes, we're going to look at these verses together, and then we're going to talk about two important truths that James wants us to remember out of this passage today. So in verses 5 through 8, James tells us if we lack wisdom, we should ask our generous God for it. And now in verses 9 through 11, he immediately challenges us to put that wisdom to use as he reminds us of the truth that our value doesn't come from our social or economic status, but our value is determined by our spiritual standing in Christ. And he begins to explain this truth by addressing those who are considered lowly by the world's standards. Now I'm going to read verse 9 again for us. It says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." When James refers to the lowly brother in this verse, he's referring to someone who is both poor financially and who is lacking in social status. And in the early church, many of the Christians would have fit into this category. Many Christians were incredibly poor by the world's standards. Sometimes that was the result of persecution that resulted in the loss of their property and homes. But most often it was the result of the poor and of the needy in that society hearing the gospel and responding in faith. And so the early church was full of those who the world would have considered to be lowly. Men and women who possessed very little wealth or who possessed very little social standing. And in this verse, James tells them to forget that the world considers them to be lowly and to boast in their riches. And the reason they can do this is because they aren't just lowly, they're lowly brothers, meaning that they are Christians who belong to the family of God. And because of their relationship to Christ, they have a reason to boast. They have a reason to boast. I'm going to read some passages for us that really help us see this. This is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." So Jesus gave up his riches to become poor for us, so that we can become rich. And then how do we become rich in Christ? I'm going to read another passage. This is Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." So in Jesus Christ, whether we are low by the world's standards or not, we have become rich. In these verses, Paul tells us that we are now the children of God, that we are now heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And not only that, I'm going to read Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. It tells us this. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. If you look at Ephesians 2, the first three verses tell us that we didn't deserve anything but death. And then in verses 4 through 7, we read that in the mercy of God, we are now the recipients of the immeasurable riches of his grace. And I want to read one more passage. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's easy for us to see our need. And if you say, you know what, I want you to boast in Christ, it takes us a few minutes. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about boasting in Christ and all that we have in Christ. So, you know, we look at three passages and look at one more. We could look at even more, but I'm going to stop after one more. So rarely do we think about this, but I want to read this. This is Philippians 4:19. It says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He's going to supply every need of ours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we can boast. We can boast even if we don't have a lot of earthly wealth. We can boast if we are the least popular person in the room. Those of us who are lowly can boast because in Christ we are rich. We are the children of God. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are the recipients of the riches of God's grace. And we are promised that God will supply every need of ours according to his riches in Christ. And that's worth bragging about. It's worth boasting about. And here James doesn't mean boasting in a bragging sense in the way we think of it. He means being proud to tell other people about what we have in Jesus. You know, so it doesn't fit into normal bragging because we're not bragging about what we have. We're bragging about what we have in Jesus. It's something that we have in him. We don't need to be ashamed of our lack of value according to the standards of the world. We need to be proud of the immeasurable riches that we have in Christ. Jesus has done something amazing. He's done something wonderful that didn't depend on our standing or our value. It was all him, and our value is now because of him. And so in verse 9, James tells the lowly to boast in their riches because their value isn't determined by the standards of the world, but by their position in Christ. And then in verses 10 through 11, James moves from encouraging the lowly brother to warning the wealthy. And if you look at the book of James, you can see that that James frequently talks about the wealthy believers. He also talks about other wealthy members. So this warning is for both those in the church and outside the church who are wealthy. I'm going to read verse 10 again for us. It says, "And the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he'll pass away." So in the book of James and throughout the whole Bible, yeah, we see that Scripture has a special concern for the spiritual life of the wealthy. Over and over again, the Bible warns the wealthy not to trust in their riches. Over and over again, the Bible warns the wealthy that it is better to be poor and obedient to the Lord than to amass wealth. And I want to read a few of these passages that warn us about the dangers of wealth, because, you know, in America, a lot of us don't consider ourselves wealthy, but we know that we are wealthy, that we are incredibly wealthy when we consider our own country and even and especially when we consider the standards of the world. And so we are very much the ones being warned. We're not just, I think a lot of us think we're lowly, but when actually we're ones being warned about our wealth as well. So let me read. This is Matthew 13:22. It says, "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." So here we're warned that our riches and the things that we acquire can distract us from our spiritual state. It can distract us from God's word. Revelation 3:17. This is here in Revelation 3:17, the church in Laodicea is condemned for trusting in their riches and for neglecting their souls. I'm going to read this. It says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." And then if you think of the teachings of Jesus, and in particular his conversation with the rich young ruler in Mark 10, Jesus warns his disciples that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. And so we see throughout Scripture, in just a few passages, but all throughout Scripture, there's a concern for the wealthy. And Kent Hughes explains it this way. He says, "Yet we tend to think of the rich as overprivileged, but Jesus taught that they are underprivileged spiritually. Riches steal the unregenerate heart against the primary requirement for entering the kingdom of God, helpless dependence." So James knows that there is a special danger for the souls of those who are rich in this world, who have everything that they could want, who feel like they are protected from the trials and suffering of this world because they have finances to back them up. So James tells them tells those who are considered rich by this world to not boast in those riches, but to boast in their humiliation. And when we think of the word humiliation, you know, we tend to think of being made fun of. You know, we don't think that's anything that we would normally boast in. But the idea here, when James uses this word that the ESV translates as humiliation, is this idea of being brought low, of being brought low. And the wealthy are brought low when God's word tells them that for all of their wealth and for all of their status and for all of the things that they have, they are just as spiritually needy as everyone else. They can have all of the wealth and status in the world, but the only way they're going to know forgiveness for their sins and reconciliation with the Father is through the redemptive work of Christ. You know, it's only by confessing our sins, by acknowledging that we can't save ourselves and that we need Jesus to rescue us from our sins, that we can be saved. And so James tells the wealthy not to boast in worldly success, but to boast in their need of Christ and in the truth that Jesus has met them in that need. And James goes on to explain why this is so important. I'm going to read verse 11 again. "For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." We're all very well. The sun is scorching our grass. I've never walked on grass that crunched before. yeah, we're all looking for rain. And here James tells us that while the life of the wealthy may seem blessed and wonderful, in the end, they will pass away just like the rest of us, just like the flowers we see in the field, just like our grass is all passing away from lack of rain. It's so important for the rich to boast in their need of Christ and in their provision that they found in Christ rather than in their riches, because wealth or success or status in this world, it's no protection against death. That's what James is saying. There's no protection against death. You know, in the end, all of us pass away. And these verses, James tells the lowly of this world to boast in the riches they have in Christ, and James tells the wealthy of this world to boast in their need of Christ and of the way that he has met them in their need. And James tells us this because ultimately our status in the world doesn't matter at all. What matters is our standing in Christ. And, you know, we all bring nothing. We all bring nothing but our own sin and guilt to Jesus. And in him, we all receive the riches of the forgiveness and of the grace and we receive all the spiritual benefits and blessings that come from being in Christ. And before we go this morning, I want to take a few minutes to look at two important truths that we see in this passage that James calls us to remember. The first truth that we need to remember is that the values of Jesus' kingdom are radically different than the values of this world. The values of Jesus' kingdom are radically different than the values of this world. You know, this passage in James sounds so strange to us because we are used to valuing ourselves and our others according to the world's standards. We value ourselves based on what we can do well, what kind of finances we have, what kind of job we have, what are we good at. You know, we value ourselves according to these standards. You know, we don't normally boast in our humiliation. We try to avoid being humiliated. We don't normally boast in the riches that we have through someone else. We want to say that we're self-made. But in Jesus' kingdom, that's normal. These other values are normal. If you think about the Beatitudes, you think about the Sermon on the Mount. You know, in that sermon, Jesus tells us that the values of his kingdom are completely different than the values of this world. He says things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And he goes on. He goes on to explain how in his kingdom, the things that look like losing are really winning. And as we consider our own status in this world, we have to remember not to measure ourselves against the standards of this world, but to measure ourselves according to the standards of his kingdom, which are radically different than the standards of this world. And then the second truth that we need to remember is that Jesus meets us in our humiliation. Jesus meets us in our humiliation. You know, all of us in here, we all need to be brought low. We need to remember that none of our wealth or none of our status, none of the things that we own, none of our physical strength or health, nothing that the world values can save us. It's not going to save us like the grass. It's all going to pass away, and then we're going to pass away. That's what we're told. So it's only through the work of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. We all hate to ask for help. We all hate to admit that we can't do something on our own, but that's exactly what we have to do. It was exactly what we have to do to enter the kingdom. You know, we have to get low. We have to admit that all that we bring to Jesus is our sin and rebellion and our incredible need for his forgiveness. But the wonderful news is that Jesus meets us in our humiliation. I'm going to read Philippians 2, 5 through 11. It says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Here we see Jesus humbled himself. Jesus got low so that we can be raised up with him. You know, and when we come to Christ, he's not ashamed of our lowness. He doesn't reproach us for our lowness. He's not ashamed of our needful need. Doesn't reproach us for our need. He meets us in our lowness, and through his perfect life and his death and his resurrection, he's made a way for us to be redeemed in him. He's made a way for us to find all of the riches that we need in him. Jesus has made a way for us to be lifted up with him into the heavenly places, to be in heaven with him. He's made that way for us. And Jesus meets us in our low points. And we come to him admitting how low we are, admitting how much we need him, boasting in our humiliation, because we're not just getting low. Jesus is meeting us there. He's meeting us there. So let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reminds us that those of us who are considered lowly by the world, Lord, that we're not lowly, that we have just so much to boast about you, all that you have done for us, all that we have in you, all the spiritual blessings, all the promises that we have in you. Lord, we thank you that for those of us who the world considers high and esteemed and worthy and wealthy and all these things, that we are reminded that without you, we're none of those things. Lord, that it's only in you that we find our true value. Lord, we ask that you would help our hearts to remember these things. When we consider ourselves by the world's standards and we feel too low, help us to remember that it is how you consider us in your Son that matters. Help us when we look at ourselves according to the world's standards and we think of ourselves well and we think of ourselves very highly. Help us to remember that what matters is how we are viewed by you. Lord, we thank you that you call us to humility. You call us to get low, to be honest about who we are, to be honest about how much we need you. Lord, we thank you that you meet us there. You meet us there, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.